name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, for which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Having confessed, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of your word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversity that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this day is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Morah. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Our epistle reading is found in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trust him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That holy gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who ascended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Be seated.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation today is our gospel reading from John chapter 3. Let us pray. O Lord, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Be seated. Curiosity killed the cat. At least that's what they say, isn't it? Whenever you are asking questions that people aren't comfortable answering. So, is curiosity a bad thing? Well, not necessarily. We can be very thankful that there were people who were curious, who asked questions. We have inventions of life-saving medicines. We can travel from one place to the other side of the world in a matter of hours instead of weeks. But curiosity can be dangerous, can't it? I mean, think of how many explorers lost their lives because they were curious, or how many people did dumb things and paid the price. I think back to my childhood and some of the things my cousins and I did because we were curious. Well, what would happen if? Well, we did survive them, but sometimes you wonder. And so we see it's important to exercise our curiosity correctly. And that is especially true with regard to spiritual matters. Through the example of this man named Nicodemus, today I hope that we can learn that there are two types of curiosity. There's the curiosity of unbelief that questions God's ways, while the curiosity of faith accepts God's ways. We have Nicodemus. I don't know how familiar you are with Nicodemus. We've all learned the stories of him. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the ruling council in Israel. I don't know if any of you have watched that, The Chosen. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It gives some tremendous insights into Scripture, into the way we look at things. And I am thankful to them for showing me Nicodemus in a totally different light. He was a man who truly devoted his life to the study of God's Word, to the Old Testament, and trying to live a God-pleasing life. Even though his fellow Jews and Pharisees didn't think very much of Jesus, in fact, they opposed him quite vehemently throughout his ministry, Nicodemus saw something in Jesus that just kind of piqued his curiosity. And so he struggled with that. He truly struggled with his faith and with Jesus. And so instead of taking his co-workers word for about who Jesus was and what he was all about, Nicodemus one night decided to go straight to the source and to hear firsthand the claims Jesus was making about himself. And I think Nicodemus' example is worth copying for us. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are content to believe what some expert or a Hollywood movie has to say about Jesus in the Bible, even though there are some very good ones out there. I think the one that's just come out starring Kelsey Grammer, I want to see that because I hear great reviews about the Jesus revolution and how it can change our lives. And so, go to those things. Listen. Listen to what they have to say. But who was that? Wasn't it Reagan that said, trust but verify? And I would suggest to do the same with God's Word and what people say. Go to the source. And there you will really know whether or not the religion is worth following. Don't draw any conclusions until you have investigated, until you have weighed all the evidence put forth in the Bible. Now, as you study the Bible, I'm sure you've probably run across a few things that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Even that scholar Nicodemus found that to be true. Take us back to our text in this exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus obviously asked, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can come to the kingdom unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. And I love this example of Jesus. The wind blows wherever it is, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus asked, how can this be? He was wondering, what did Jesus mean by this being born again to see the kingdom of God? Certainly he couldn't climb back into the womb. And for many people, that'd kind of be the end of the argument. Clearly, Jesus is a crackpot. Write him off, forget about him. He said things that made no sense. And that's the curiosity of unbelief. It doesn't want to admit that God might actually know something more than we know. Don't give in to that temptation of dismissing Bible teachings being out of hand. Instead, follow Nicodemus' example. Ask for clarification. Keep engaging this God of the universe in conversation. And in time, he will make the teachings clear. It may not seem like it to us, but one day down the road, they all become clear, don't they? So what exactly did Jesus mean that one must be born again? Well, the first time we're born from our parents, we inherit that sinful nature, don't we? And that's the point of what Jesus was saying when he said, flesh gives birth to flesh. We're like an email with a virus. You know what, or a computer with a virus. That email that you look at may look kind of harmless. You click on it, and boy, all kinds of problems start when the virus comes in. That's why we install firewalls in our computers. Well, we want to keep those viruses away. In the same way, God has set a firewall around us and around heaven. And as regards heaven, only those without the virus of sin can enter. Or they're going to mess up paradise like Adam and Eve did after they disobeyed God. You know, that kind of life that we all pine for, a life where children always obey their parents, a world where husband and wife never argue, where no one rudely cuts you off on the highway, where people really mean it when they ask, how are you? Well, that kind of life is really only possible in a world without sin. Nicodemus may have thought that as a Pharisee, as a scholar of the Old Testament, he'd done enough in his life to gain entrance into heaven, to enjoy that kind of life. But no, Nicodemus was a sinner. In fact, in that one day alone, you must wonder how many needy people had Nicodemus walked by without stopping to help because he was in a hurry. How many unkind words had run through his mind as he thought about his co-workers? Nicodemus, too, needed saving because he was a sinner. And that's why Jesus began this conversation with him by saying, I tell you the truth, no one, not even you, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And so we ask, well, how does this rebirth take place then? Well, for us, it was an obvious reference to baptism. Because Jesus said, born of water and the Spirit. Through baptism, that Spirit comes into our lives. It creates faith in what Jesus did to forgive our sin. Just as we had nothing to do the first time we were born with our being born, so we had nothing to do with that second time that we were reborn. Conversion is God's work, not anything we do, but purely God alone. Now, this was all just a little bit much for Nicodemus. How can this be, he asked. How can, and I don't understand that either. I still to this day ask, how can God call me forgiven and cleansed just because we sprinkle a little water on a baby's head and we invoke God's name at the baptism? Well, it's not so important that I understand how this works, but to simply believe that it does work. And that's what Jesus said. That's what he means when he said, the wind blows wherever it will. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, I don't need to understand everything about atmospheric pressure and all the ins and outs of that to believe that there is such a thing as wind. I grew up in the panhandle of Texas. I learned what wind was from birth on. It never stops. It usually picks up a lot of dust with it, but at any rate, I can feel that wind, even if I can't see it or understand how it works. Just like the same way, I don't understand how the brakes work on my car, but I don't have to understand that to know that I trust whenever I push the pedal, it's going to stop. And so I shouldn't have to understand everything that God tells me in His Word before I come to trust His promises. And that's what it means to exercise curiosity correctly. There is a good time for curiosity, in other words. Go ahead. Ask those questions of God, but then in faith, accept the answers He gives. And He does give those answers. We may have to search sometimes. We may have to wait sometimes. But those answers are always there. Now people ask, well, why should I accept the answers God gives in His Word if I can't make sense of them? I can believe God's answers because He loves me and He has my best interest in mind. Jesus made that very clear when He brought this story to Nicodemus that I'm sure Nicodemus knew backwards and forwards. Jesus said, you know, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Jesus had Nicodemus recall this incident that he knew quite well from Israel's march to the Promised Land. You remember that Sunday school story? One day after the Israelites were complaining about the wonderful food that God had given them, they were kind of tired. It was the same thing all over and over. Well, God said, okay, I'm going to send poisonous snakes to take care of that, and everyone they bite will die. Well, the Israelites quickly repented of their sin, and they asked God to save them from those snakes. And then God did a very curious thing. And really, this is kind of another whole topic that we can cover one day. He told Moses to make a snake out of bronze and put it up on a pole. And I've always wondered why a snake, since that was the first thing that messed everything up. But at any rate, he had him put a snake up on that pole. And he told him, everybody who looks at that snake and believes will be saved. Now, does that make sense? No, it didn't. But they did it, and it worked. Well, that bronze snake served as the picture of what Jesus would come to do. And Jesus made the statement to Nicodemus, just as he would be lifted up on that cross, God promises that all who look to faith in Jesus will be saved from their sin. I still wonder, well, why should I listen to God even though not everything seems to make sense? I want to listen to Him. Because if He was willing to send His Son to shed His blood, to die on a cross, to pay for my sins, I think He has my best interest at heart. I think He really does care for me just a little bit. He wants us to be in heaven with Him. And the only way we can get there is by trusting that Jesus died and rose to save us from our sins. Now, did Nicodemus come to believe in Jesus? Yes, he did. No doubt about that. We go forward just a little bit. About 3 years later, you remember Nicodemus was one of the two men who was bold enough to have Jesus, to take down Jesus' body from the cross, to lovingly prepare it for burial, even though this act would have clearly marked Nicodemus as a follower of Jesus, and therefore made him an enemy of everyone who hated Jesus enough to arrange for that crucifixion. To think such devotion to Jesus all started with just a little curiosity. He wanted to find out a little bit more about Jesus. Well, the fact that you're here this morning must mean that you have some level of curiosity about Jesus. But now, will that lead to the level of devotion Nicodemus showed to Jesus? Will you one day risk your reputation as a follower of Christ? Will you spend all your time, all your money to follow Him? It might be hard to imagine sometimes, but that is what God wants, isn't it? And it is what we'll gladly give when we come to appreciate who Jesus is as our Savior from sin and hell. Now, sometimes there may be times that we don't come to that conclusion, when we doubt that conclusion, and that's all right. Keep engaging in that conversation with God. Keep listening for the answers in His Word, as did Nicodemus. And I assure you, you will learn to cherish your Savior, cherish Jesus as your Savior, something that you will never, ever regret. May God grant it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For hearts to remember the gracious works of God in Christ, that we would proclaim His name to the world He has loved, let us pray to the Lord. For faith unto eternal life, that we may receive God's promised inheritance, not because of His law, but because of His promise to Abraham and to us, let us pray to the Lord. For all fathers who are given the calling to hand down the faith, that their hearts would be filled with the words of Christ, and that they would show forth His mercy, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and its leaders, that God would bless all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and that He would enable us to be good and responsible citizens, let us pray to the Lord. And have mercy. For the sick and the suffering, especially for Annie Mae, Pastor Scott, Judy, for Robert, for Alfred, Jeff, Katie, Violet, Sandra, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don, and Donna, for all those we name in our hearts, that God would comfort them with His divine promises and grant healing according to His will. Let us pray to the Lord. For faith to hear the word of Jesus, to trust in His death on the cross, and to receive His body and blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation, Let us pray to the Lord. For the comfort of Christ, as we wait to join the saints in heaven and in the life of the world to come, that we would stand ever confident in Him who gives life to the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you to give you his peace.